Hello, my friend. I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood, and I'd like to welcome you to our... We hope you enjoy the praise and worship and are encouraged and challenged by his words and the message to follow. Please send us an email and let us know how you've been blessed. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. And now let's join the service already in progress.
Invited to take the journey with us, because we'd love it if you joined us.
Good morning. We'll try that one more time. Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you to Zion Baptist Church, and I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood, and we'd also like to welcome our internet listening audience, and we're so glad that you've tuned in again to join us in worship. With a special shout out to our friends in India, Dr. Raja, and we are in prayer for you, as we know that you are for us. If you're our special guest here this morning, we want to welcome you, and immediately through the doorway to your left, you'll find a restroom. At the back of the hallway, you'll find the nursery. Down the stairways to your left, you'll find a water fountain and a fellowship hall with a kitchen there that's has anything that you may have need of during the service. So you just make that available to yourself. And we're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day for a time of worship. And without any further ado, Brother Chris, would you come and lead us?
If you would, first off this morning, let's get a hymnal and turn to page 177. Page 177. Assemble together. We do want to lift up and praise your name. Father, we thank you for the love and the mercy that you've shown us. Father, that at the very mention of this name, people's lives can be changed. Sicknesses can be healed. God, there's so many things just by calling out your name. We can see peace in the middle of a storm. No matter what it is, Father, just calling on the name of Christ, Father, we can see many things happen. And today, as we come together here, we call upon your name and we lift up your name. And Father, we just ask that if there's any here that has a need, or there may be a heart that needs to be touched, God, that you would just speak to them. Father, we lift up the Blankenship family, Sam and Janice Reimer, Gina Chastain, Robin Proper, Chrissy Howell, Kim Nams, Tim Henry, Ed and Helen Bates, Josh Cross, Brenda Moore, Noah Rogers, Kimberly McCormick, Janet Lee, Joyce Bates, Mally Evans, Joseph Cross, Matthew Cross, Dylan Witt, Mildred Jones, Greg Swires, Butch Ray, and Andre Sharp, Reagan Hicks, and many unspoken requests, along with all the names that are on our ongoing list. Father, we just leave all these in your keeping. We thank you and praise you that you hear these requests and you're in the midst of each one. We just thank you and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Page 469. Page 469.
We praise thee. For the Son of thy love, for Jesus.
as we share our special with you, I want you to help us out, if you will, just a little bit. First and foremost, a lot of times when it's a matter of worship or when we come together, see, like right now, it would be well, I don't know that it would be really neat, but if we could just look in each of your minds and see what you're thinking, what's going through it, because I guarantee you it would just be going everywhere. Am I correct? You're probably thinking about what's going to be happening after a while. You're probably thinking about what happened yesterday. You're probably thinking about that person sitting in front of you with the big hair that you can't see around. There's matters of everything that gets our focus off of why we're here. You've got one job this morning, one sole purpose, to block everything out and look to God. Consider what He's done for you in your life, in your personal life right now. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. And we're going to try something a little different this morning. We've done this Sunday night. And if it don't bless you, that's fine, because it will me. Because it seems like it was every time we have. Many, many years ago, and as I look this up, I come to find out, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, he was a ship captain, as you may know, and he was sailing across the sea there, and of course he was in the slave trade business, but he come upon a storm, and as he was on this storm, him not being a Christian at the time, he did remember some of the things that he had seen his mama call upon him, and so he said the only thing that he knew was, "Lord, have mercy upon us." He got through that storm. May 10th marks the day that he gave his heart and his life to Christ and accepted Him as his Savior. And this song that we all know, that not only encompasses many, many different denominations, but many different people have sang it, it's kind of like an anthem to a Christian. When you stop and you think about the amazing grace that God gave each one of us, He didn't have to, but He did. And so I want you to focus on nothing but what God's grace means to you and what it's done for you. If you have to close your eyes so that you don't see anybody around you, that's fine. But focus and consider this morning.
His grace had brought me.
comes down, I want y'all to stand and help me do something else, because I guarantee you, if he could, he would also say this, and just say, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Take a moment, fellowship one with another. Just be sure to say hello to any guests that we may have. Children that are going to children's church will be meeting right up here.
Good morning. If you have your Bible, Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And in case you're wondering, no, I'm not confused. And I do know that next Sunday is Mother's Day. But in case you're not aware of it, I will be traveling next Sunday. We'll not be here, so I thought I would take this opportunity to share with you a Mother's Day message. And by the way, don't you believe that any day is a good day to thank God for mothers? Amen. And so, again, I just want to share with you a mother's influence, a tribute to mothers. And mothers are so important. Women are so important. You agree with that? Say amen. For instance, I want to ask you a question. Ladies, can I wear this shirt? I take a good look at it. Can I wear this shirt with khaki pants?
No.
Why not? I didn't ask you to say anything. If you think I can wear it, I'm not saying it's the best, but if it would be acceptable to wear this shirt with khaki pants, raise your hand, ladies. Raise your hand high. Don't be ashamed. There's other people raising their hand. Okay. Now, if you don't think you can wear this shirt with khaki pants, raise your hand, ladies. Okay. Now, somewhere along the line, there ought to be something written down in a book somewhere. But now, let me prove a point. How many of you guys just really don't care? Raise your hand. That's you now. So the long story is, if it wasn't from the ladies, we'd all walk around looking like idiots if they didn't dress us every Sunday morning. Because I come that close wearing khaki pants this morning with this shirt. And my wife said, that won't work. She was half asleep when she told me that. A man came from work and found his three children outside still in their pajamas and playing in the mud. And the door of his wife's car was open as the front door of the house was open, and there wasn't any sign of the dog. So going on then into the house, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over in the front room, and the TV was loudly playing on a cartoon channel, and the family room was covered with toys, and various items of clothing were strewed everywhere. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink, breakfast food was spilling over the counter, the fridge door was wide open, the dog food was spilled on the floor. So he quickly headed upstairs, stepping over more toys and piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He's worried that she might be ill or something serious had happened to her. He was met by a small trickle of water as it made its way out of the bathroom door. And as he peered inside the bathroom, he seen wet towels and scummy soap and toys strewn all over the floor. Miles of toilet paper heaped up, and toothpaste had been smeared all over the mirrors and all over the walls. As he rushed to the bedroom then, he found his wife still curled up in bed in her pajamas reading a novel. She looked up at him and smiled, and she asked, how'd your day go? He looked at her kind of confused, and he said, what happened here today? She smiled again and answered. She said, you know, every day when you come home from work and you ask me, what in the world have I done today? He said, yep. She said, well, today I didn't do it. Some of you get that when you wake up tomorrow. Abraham Lincoln wrote, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. End of quote. Lincoln's mother must have had a great influence on his life, and perhaps even more than what his father did. If you found Romans chapter 16, say amen. Let's stand together in honor of our Father's word. And I just want to take one verse and leapfrog from that. Usually I like going line by line and verse by verse, but I want to share with you several verses out of the scripture this morning. As you saw in the video illustration, oftentimes the scripture compares the love of God for his people as a love that a mother has for her children. And so I think it must be pretty important if God compares his love, gives us an illustration of his love as a mother's love for her children. Amen? Well, in the salutation of his letters, Paul writes to the church of Rome as he's desiring to go there, travel there, see them. In chapter 16, he lists a long group of people that he, in other words, if I could translate it, he wants to say hi to, that he wants to send greeting to. And in verse 13, he says, greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, and his mother and mine. His mother and mine. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we come to you this morning and we just celebrate, Father. I know that we've set aside in America next Sunday is Mother's Day, but Father, we want to set aside today to reflect upon one of the greatest gifts that you've given us, and that's a mother. For she chose to bring us into this world, which we cannot even take that for granted in the day and age in which we live in. And Father, we thank you for the gift of life that you gave us through our mothers. And Father, as we search the Scripture today, may we understand how important mothers are, that they are irreplaceable and that they have a duty and responsibility to our Heavenly Father to be godly mothers and to exude the love of Christ to your children, in which you gave them and entrusted to them and to our families. And God, we thank you for godly mothers and the influence in which they have and have had upon our lives. And God, we just ask a blessing upon the reading of your word, and may your Holy Spirit penetrate the walls of this place and permeate in our hearts. And in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I feel for mothers today because I think many moms would prefer to stay home and to do motherly things. But the pressure of our society of wanting to have more and do more forces most mothers to have a full-time job outside the home. And that's sad, but it's true. Perhaps if we all lived on less, we would have more. Perhaps if we lived on less, we'd have more. We'd have less material things, but perhaps we would have more spiritual values and strength. How many of you know that America's in a mess? I mean, a big mess. Now, when I look out over this group here this morning, and perhaps those listening by way of the internet, I see a lot of gray out here. And what I see is a lot of experience. And I dare say that probably those with gray hair, if they honestly evaluated the situation, could say they've never seen America in as big a mess as what it's in right now. As divided and divisive as it is right now, with two very extreme opposing ideologies pulling for the heart and hearts of America. And I say that that's indicative of how people were raised. You see, Washington is just a reflection of the family. And the family, as the family goes, is as the church goes. And so what's important about the family is that God has given each family a mother and a father. And how important are mothers? Today we want to honor our mothers, of course, and honoring our mothers should be an ongoing thing, not just a one time a year thing, and we talked about that. And so there's three different scriptures that I thought that I would give this morning that we would share as a tribute to mothers from whom that we could learn. And I know you're very familiar with these, and but we'll look at them, and my computer catch up with me. And first of all, I want to share with you that a mother never ceases in being a mother. Never ceases to be a mother. In verse 13, in which we read, he said, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord and his mother." A little different translation, perhaps, of what you have on your lap might say this: "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord and his mother, who has been a mother to me also." And specifically, Paul is not speaking of his biological mother, but he's speaking of Rufus's mother, who treated him just like one of her children. And he says, so greet her also. She's my mom. She's my second mom. The Apostle Paul said that the mother of his friend Rufus had been a mother to him and a very well good mother to him. And no doubt she had concern for Paul just like she did her own son. Maybe she cooked some meals for him. Maybe she had done some laundry for him. Maybe she had waited on him. But nevertheless, she had treated him just as she had treated Rufus, her own son. And my question of reflection this morning would be, did you ever have a childhood friend who stayed at your home more than they did their own home? And if so, did your mother mother them just like she mothered you? Or maybe you stayed at a good friend's house and his mother became a second mother to you. Does anybody here got a second mother besides the one that you've got? Well, you're extremely blessed. And for the rest of you, I wish you could have one. And we all, and all the ladies, should strive to be one. A second mother, a surrogate mother to others. Once a mother, always a mother. When a mother ceases to have children at home, she's still a mother, and she does motherly things. Even if it's a matter of mothering other children, you'll see that happen. And I think of this, and especially happens even with grandparents. Even, you know, when your kids are raised, and then you've got the grandchildren. And by the way, I don't know, but something miraculous happens between children and grandchildren. I don't know what it is. And it just seems like the scale of what you can get by with and what you get and everything just seems to go out the window. I don't know what it is, but even to this day, if we go home, and Renee's mother. If we go home and it's cold, for instance, and if Jesse or Austin or Hunter walks in the house and they don't have a coat on, well, that's the most horrendous thing you've ever seen in your life. And before they get ready to go back out, they need to put on two shirts, a big winter jacket, and a scarf, and a toboggan, and gloves, and everything else. And they're 21 years old, 22 years old. It's just, once a mother, always a mother. No matter what it might be or who the other person, the other child might be. Elizabeth Edwards, the late wife of John Edwards, the former U.S. Senator from North Carolina, left behind not only three children but a grieving nanny who says that Edwards was like a mom to her too. She said, and I quote, "I lived with him for a lot of years every single day." Her name was Heather North. She was a nanny for the Edwards family for 5 years. And she said, and I quote, "She's my second mother. She helped shape the person that I am, and we loved her dearly. She's an amazing woman." And what a nice tribute to Elizabeth Edwards, who passed on, but something to be said that she treated me like my own child. In the book My Second Mother by Scarlett D. Claiborne, by Scarlett D. from Claiborne, Texas, she says, and I quote, "Teachers are like second parents. Between junior high and high school, I had 36 different teachers." You ever thought about how many different teachers you've had in your career? "Of those, none had made a bigger difference in my life than Miss Lisa Benson." She said, and I quote, "Miss Benson teaches accounting at Claiborne High School. And since the day I met her, my freshman year, she has helped mold my future. As a freshman, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. And the first day of class, Miss Benson discussed what accounting was and how it relates to the real world. And the enthusiastic tone in her voice and extensive knowledge of the profession made me become interested in an accounting career. And every question I asked was answered with complete honesty, with no sugarcoating. And at that moment, I knew that I wanted to be an accountant. And the way Miss Benson taught also helped me choose that occupation. And she also never gave up on students who didn't understand. Miss Benson would always hear the student out and try to think of a way to word the lesson that would click in their brains. And she constantly listened to our thoughts and opinions and made sure we felt like grown-ups." She goes on to say, "I found myself and still find myself often asking for her advice, her opinions, and personal life questions. She slowly became a woman whom I looked up to and admired. And I felt like I could come to her for anything, and I really trusted her with my life." End of quote. Wow. What a nice tribute to a lady who became a second mother, and no doubt to many of her students. And thank God for mothers who never stop loving, never stop giving, never stop caring, and never stop mothering, even when it's not their own child or children. That's the essence in the life of a church, whether you're helping in Sunday school or nursery or with children programs, even after your children are grown. And you begin investing your lives into the lives of others' children. And by the way, you'll never know when you extend your love and your care what a difference you're making in a young person's life or a child's life, because they may not have had the type of mother that you had. As a matter of fact, you can't take motherhood for granted these days in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We're living in a totally detached and different generation. And how precious are our mothers who love the way that Christ loved. The second verse I want to share with you out of the Bible is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. You can write that down. How important are mothers? Well, mothers teach children obedience. I don't know if you know this or not, but obedience is very important. It always has been. But what you see today in our culture, what you see in our streets, what you see going on in Cleveland or Chattanooga or in Benton or anywhere else, it's all because of a lack of obedience. All of it. A lack of obedience to God, a lack of obedience to authorities and government, a lack of obedience in the home. It's a lack of obedience, and it almost seems like the word obedience, we want to just throw it out. We have a lot of people that throw it out of their wedding vows. We want to throw it out of the church. We want to throw it away from Scripture. We want to take obedience and just shove it out there. And we've given in to pluralism. We've given in to no absolutes. The word truth is just relative to everything, and there are no absolute truths. And if there's no absolute truth, there'll be no need of obedience. But there are absolute truth, and there is absolute authority. And it's in our Heavenly Father. It's in God Jehovah. And through Jesus Christ, we know that and we understand that. How important is it for a mother to teach these things to her children? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life here on the earth." What an awesome, awesome verse. Any young mother, any young family needs to have this verse right here printed out and put it on your refrigerator, put it on your vanity there in your bathroom sink or something to remind you of what a great gift that you've got not only in a child, but what great authority and potential your child has in you and through you as you teach your children to be obedient. Teach your children to be obedient. If children are to obey their parents, that includes mama. In fact, sometimes mothers are more the disciplinarians than the fathers simply because they spend more time with their children. I was raised by a stay-at-home mom. When I say stay-at-home, I'm being raised on the dairy farm until about the age of 10. And then mom took on a job of nursing, and then she would nurse at night. And then she would take care of us six kids in the daytime along there on the dairy farm. And I think about this, and when it comes to discipline, I never did hear things like, "Just wait till your daddy gets home," or "Wait till your daddy comes in here." Mama took care of the disciplinary part. She took care of it right then. And to where I could be reminded of the fact of how I disobeyed her. And I even remember one time at a very young age, and I guess you'd probably get thrown in jail for this nowadays. I'm sure you would. And but I remember at a very young age, and I say young, I don't know, somewhere around the age of five or six. And I can't remember what it was, but it was a form. It wasn't even what you'd call a cuss word now, but it was a form of a cuss word. I think I've even heard it around here. And you could even say it in churches nowadays. And I'll just say it. I said, "Dang." D-A-N-G. And I was promptly snatched up, took into the bathroom, handed a bar of soap, and said, "Wash your mouth out." Now, how many of y'all precious people think that's cruel? You see, she was driving home a point that we're a Christian family. And in her mind, she knew what "dang" was a substitute for, and it was just a precursor to something else. Probably heard it around some other kids. I didn't hear it at home. Probably heard it around some other kids and playing and preschool or whatever. But I knew one thing. Mama didn't like that word. And I didn't say it no more. I remember being told not to chew gum in church. Everybody was chewing gum. Just stop right then when I said it. That was just a culture thing, okay? That was just the culture which I grew up in. But you didn't chew gum in church. If you did, and there was some gum left under the pew in front of you or something like that, sure enough, one of the seniors would see that gum stuck on that pew, and it would just be a battle. You know, "They're sticking gum on our pew," and stuff like this. But the point of it is, you didn't chew gum in church, and there was always that guy at church, and I know who some of you are, that would always give the kids candy when they come in. And they'd always give me a half a stick. They'd break it between me and my brother, a half a stick of Juicy Fruit. And there's only, you know, the Bible says you shouldn't tempt your brother. You know, least he fall. I'd come in and he'd say, "Here you go, boy." You know, a little cotton top. He'd hand me and Mark a piece of gum. We'd have, and man alive, boy. We'd look around, be sure. Sometimes we'd go to the bathroom, be sure nobody around. We'd take that gum, we'd stick it in our mouth. We'd go out there, we'd sit down for church, and they'd start singing. I'd be sitting there beside Mama, and we'd be drawing on the bulletin or whatever, you know. And every time I'd be sitting there chewing it up, Mama look over at me. And she'd look off. One time I was just going down there chewing on that gum and just chewing it up, and I don't know, Mama, somehow or another I didn't catch it in my peripheral vision. Mama looked over and she saw me. Daddy was leading the singing. And Mama looked over, and of course she being a good WMU director and being a leader in the church and everything else, she looked over and saw me. This don't ever happen nowadays either. She looked over there and saw me, and boy, she snatched me up by my arm. She took me right out that back door, right by that front porch, and she promptly wore my britches out. She said, "You see, you don't understand, see, it's not about the gum. It's about Mama told me not to chew gum." And you see, what my mama installed and instilled in me is a respect for authority. Because one day Mike wasn't going to be 6 years old sitting in a pew. He was going to be 50 years old, and he was going to have to decide whether or not he was going to be obedient and bow to the authority of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mike was going to have the ability to discern whether or not he was going to choose to obey the Word of God or choose to obey the Heavenly Father. That it's something that needs to be instilled to where it comes automatic, and it's reflected by our love for Christ because of what He's done for us. I look back upon it now and I realize in my immaturity, I did not realize what I was doing, but in my maturity I do. After all that my mom had done for me, loved for me, cared for me, cooked for me, cleaned me, took care of me when I was sick, all that she'd done for me. Being obedient is such a small thing for all that she gives. How about you? And how about Christ? Being obedient is just a small thing. Listen, let me tell you something, Mom and Dad. It's not cute when your children run wild. I'm going to start meddling now a little bit. It's not cute when your children run wild. And I see people in restaurants and everywhere else, and they're running around after little kids. Please come back and sit down. Please come do this. Please eat this. I never in my life ever sit down and my mama said, Do you like what I fixed? To a lot of you, that's an epiphany. Do you like this? Do you want me to take the edge off the bread for you? There were six of us boys. Mike, do you want your eggs over easy? Mark, do you want your eggs scrambled? Jeff, do you want yours medium well? No, the eggs were fixed. They were placed on the table. And there it is, guys. Eat them. If you don't, go on. That's fine. But you won't be nothing. Don't come back in the kitchen till lunchtime. And then don't come back till supper time. If you want to eat, eat. We're raising a generation of kids that don't know how to be obedient because obedience is not required of them at home. And Mom, it starts with you. And with obedience, there must be consequences to the choices. By the way, as an adult, does God hold you responsible of whether or not you're obedient to His Word? Does He not hold you accountable? Are there not consequences if we choose to be disobedient? And we never question God's love for us, but yet we read all these books from Dr. Spock and Oprah and Dr. Phil and all of these others. And they say, that hurts a child's esteem. Let me tell you something. Nothing's going to hurt a child's esteem when he steps face first out in that world and they slap him down, or slap her down. Because they really don't care how she feels. They don't care how you feel. They'll fire you. And all this thing. And when people think the world is built around them, you've got to realize that the world's not built around you. It's built around Christ. People of authority don't want to serve God now. I wonder how miserable they'll be in heaven. And I'd say that. I say that facetiously because they will not be in heaven. We serve in heaven. We serve in Christ. And how important it is for mothers to teach their children to serve. The mother of a problem child was advised by a psychiatrist once upon a time, you're far too upset and worried about your son. Listen, I suggest you take these tranquilizers regularly. On her next visit, the psychiatrist asked her, said, have those tranquilizers calmed you down? She said, yep. He said, well, how's your son doing? She said, who cares? Yeah, some of you get that tomorrow. That's not the answer to raising a problem child. I'm sure there might be some mothers who would like that solution. Or at least on certain days you'd like that solution. Irma Bombeck wrote, when my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. And when they're finished, I climb out. Someone wrote, I love to play hide and seek with my kids, but some days my goal is to find a hiding place where they can't find me until after high school. A mother teaches her children to obey because she's learned the lessons of obedience herself to her parents and to God. You find a child that says yes ma'am and no ma'am to mom and dad, yes ma'am and no ma'am to others. You find a child that is obedient when they're 5 years old to this day, right now. You see where my boy is sitting up in that window? I can look over at Jesse and I can say, go get me a glass of water. There's not a question. There's not an excuse. They go and do it. Not because they're afraid that I'm going to give them, because I instilled something in them very small. And now that they're old enough to be out from underneath my care, I'm hoping and praying and trusting in God's Word that they'll do my Heavenly Father the same way. When He says go, they'll go. When He says do it, they'll do it. Proverbs 10 and 1, write that down. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. You heard that? A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Proverbs 13 and 24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. That means faithful in the disciplinarian. Proverbs 22 and 15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. You can tell kids who have mothers and fathers who discipline them, and you can tell those who don't. And it's not the kid's fault, because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. It's the parents. It's mom and dad who have not taken God's word at His word to instill this. And what's going to happen, mom and dad, is when they get older, you know how many, perhaps Dr. Andy Slager would know this, but most kids, when they reach the age of college and they go off to college, it's somewhere around 70% or more walk away from their faith. They get out there and they taste that freedom. They get around some liberal professors. And they get involved in this secular culture. And the foundation was not great enough, which was laid. And they walk away from it. Proverbs 29 and 15 says this: a rod and a reprimand impart wisdom. Yeah. I'm thinking about all the wisdom my mom gave me and all the wisdom my dad gave me. It'll teach you some things. But a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Someone said these insightful words to mothers, and I quote, children are going to grow up, so they need to be taught to obey authority figures. They're going to have a hard time following rules, having a hard time obeying their boss, the laws of the land and their government, if you don't teach them. And they'll be saying the world is against them and wondering why everyone in society wants them to obey rules and their elders. And then you realize as a parent you failed to instill those rules and laws into your children when they were little. And you let them believe that they were equal or better than everyone, including their bosses and government. Did you catch that? You let them believe that they are equal or better than everyone, including their bosses and government. Not in self-value, but in what their wants and desires is. I remember back in the late 70s and early 80s when this stuff started. When I first started playing baseball, the champion and runner-up got trophies, and that was it. And then this book by Dr. Spock and some others came out, started talking about self-esteem and all that. Next thing you know, then everybody that played baseball got a trophy, a participation trophy. What do you get this trophy for? Well, you're alive and breathing, and you walk on the field, you get a trophy. But the reality of it is that there's winners and losers in life. And I've been a part of both of it. And probably I've learned as much or more from my losses as I have my... But you know what? People lose in life. And there are people that are better. There's better pastors than I am. There's better speakers than I am. There are better preachers than I am. I understand that. And because they are, and I understand the own scale in which I'm on, and so on and so forth, you've got to understand that everybody is not the same. And you got to let them understand that one day they won't be everybody's little princess. He won't be the apple of everyone's eye. If you're not, you're letting them get set up for a lot of heartache and disappointment. You're letting them get set up for two or three different marriages, or four or five different marriages. You realize the average person today from the age of 18 to 25 expects to be married at least three times, according to a George Barna survey. That's their expectation, to be married at least three times. Why? Because whoever they're married to the first two times don't realize they're the center of the universe. How important is your job, Mom, to raise your kids in a balanced way? Love them, but in a balanced way. You know what? I don't doubt God's love for me one doubt, one iota, one bit. But guess what? I am not the center of God's universe. Now that might be shocking, but I'm not. And here's something even more shocking. You're not either. God is. Wrap it all up. It won't suit well with some of the TV shows and evangelists and programs you see. But it's not all about you and it's not all about me. It's about our Heavenly Father. And our primary purpose to draw air on this earth is to glorify our Heavenly Father. Everything is built around God. And that's what we instill in our children. And in God, His plan and purpose and His priority and His way of doing things, He has set up law and order. He has set up obedience and disobedience. And we must transmit that to our children. Thank God for mothers who cared enough, who loved enough to discipline their children in order to make them behave and teach them to respect authority in life. And teach them to respect authority in life. And then the third thing is this, very quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. A mother lives a life of faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul speaks to Timothy. He said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. What an encouragement to mothers. And I think one of the key words in this verse is the word sincere in front of the word faith. There's a faith, there's a nominal faith, which most people in America, they have nominal faith. Most people sitting in church pews have a nominal faith. But a sincere faith is something that permeates and penetrates every area of our life. And Paul told Timothy, I thank God for your grandmother and your mother because of their sincere faith. You have a sincere faith, and I'm sending you into the ministry because I know that you are going to do a wonderful job because you're grounded. It's something more than, if we might say, it's something more than church. It's something more than religion. It's something that you have taken the Word of God, which we have the privilege now in the total canon of Scripture, taken the Word of God and injected it and applied it to your life. And you live it out. You live it out. Timothy's faith came at least in part from his mother and grandmother. And we just thank God for his mother's faith. Abraham Lincoln said, I remember my mother's prayers and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. End of quote. Proverbs 1 and 8 says, listen. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. And do not forsake your mother's teaching. I'm going to ask our pianist to come, and as she's coming, I ask you, if you're still blessed enough to have your mother with you, I want to encourage you to honor her and love her and even be obedient to her. You know, even at this point in time right now, with my father who's back in Union City, Tennessee, in the nursing home, and he'll be 79 on June the 10th of this year. But if my dad asked me to do anything, if it's in my power, I'd do it. That's the respect that I have for him. Was he a perfect dad? Nope, but my Bible tells me to honor my father. You see, there's no prerequisite in there saying if they're perfect. You honor that position of father. I've learned a lot from my dad. Be grateful for your dad. Be grateful for your mother. Whether she was a perfect mother or not. You learn from her. I've learned things from my father to do. Dad was a hard worker, and everything he decided to do, he put himself into. Then I learned some things from my dad not to do. Did you ever learn anything from your dad not to do? But you learn from it. And more importantly, I always think of this, is my mother and my father were a gift from God. God in His sovereignty saw fit to be born to those parents. And if so, He also told me to be obedient to those parents and to honor those parents. So here's the call to us. Not only do we want to honor our mothers, in which we have with us, but my challenge to you ladies is to be a mother worthy of honor. We've often heard of preachers, and we've heard, you know, preachers introduced at pulpits. He's a man of the Word. He's a student of the Word. He's a student of the Bible, and so on and so forth. What's even greater and has more influence than preaching is a mother who's a mother of the Word, who's a mother of the Bible, who's a mother in love with Jesus Christ, and raises her children accordingly. When Robert Ingersoll, the notorious skeptic and atheist, was in his heyday, two college students went to hear him lecture. And as they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, well, I guess he knocked the props out from under Christianity, didn't he? And the other one said, no, I don't think he did. And Ingersoll He said, why? He said, well, I don't believe Ingersoll didn't explain away my mother's life. And until he can explain away my mother's life, I'll stand by my mother's God. End of quote. Four ministers were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible, and one liked the King James Version best because of its beautiful English. The other liked the American Standard because it's more literal and comes nearer to the original Hebrew and Greek. The third liked the more new and modern New International Translation the best, but the fourth minister kept silent. And the other three were surprised, and so they prodded him and said, well, which one do you like? And he said, well, I like my mother's translation best. And the others were kindly, you know, silenced by the fact, and they wondered what he was driving at. And he said, yep, Mother translated the Bible into everyday life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw. End of quote. Just as the video said before we started, people are needing to see God. And one of the primary people that needs to see God is your children, and the primary place they would see God is in your life. Mom, no more important thing that you've got than to be a woman of the Word, a woman of faith, a woman after God's own heart. And God's promised that He'll bless you for it. I leave you with this little poem. It says, she was just an old-fashioned mother. She didn't pretend to be smart. To care for her home and her dear ones was the wish that was first on her heart. We were raised by old-fashioned rules so sparsely employed today, and when we so richly deserved it, we were spanked in that old-fashioned way. A good name is far better, she'd say, than all the wealth of the nation, and truth is best any day. She believed in the old-fashioned Bible, and she trusted in old-fashioned prayer. She told us that Jesus would hear us if we'd speak any time and anywhere. Thank God for an old-fashioned mother, for the Bible and old-fashioned prayer, for that old-fashioned faith that is looking for our Lord to appear in the air. Someone wrote, mothers hold their children's hand for a short while, but their hearts forever. How about you, Mom? Are you the type of mother God would have you to be? And we're hoping and praying that you are. And husband, are you leading them in direction? Are you enabling them to be the mother they need to be by being the godly father that you need to be? And I share this as you look forward to the actual celebration of Mother's Day next Sunday. But I just wonder how many here could say, you know what, I thank God for a mother who loved the Lord. And pray then, if you are a mother, that you'll be the type of mother that inspire your children. Not just to love the things that you like and the sports that you like and the hobbies that you like, but you inspire your children to love God the way you love Him. Let's stand right now with heads bowed and eyes closed, and we extend the invitation this way. If you're here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to come this morning and I can show you and introduce you to the King of Kings. Give your heart to Jesus this morning. And then secondly, Paul, if you're here, your mother's here, perhaps during the time of invitation, you just need to go put your arm around your mom and tell her you love her, you appreciate her faith and all that she's done for you. Maybe you need to come to the altar and pray together. Pray for your mother. Mother, pray for your children. Husband, pray for your wife. Honor her in such a way. Maybe you just need to come and thank God for your mother who's already passed on, but she's still living in you, in her values and in her virtue. But either way, the altar's open. Let God have His way. With heads bowed and eyes closed, they continue to be. Heavenly Father, we just ask You bless this invitation. And in Jesus' name we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Amen. As the altar's open, there are those that are coming. Gentlemen, maybe you need to pray for your wife, that God has strengthened her, and she'd be the mother she needs to be, the mother of your children, that she'd be the godly mother she needs to be. If there's someone in your way, they'll step out of the way and they'll let you out. And there are those praying. Is anyone like to be remembered in prayer? You just got an unspoken request. You'd like to slide your hand up and slide it back down. Anybody? God bless you. 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 Listen, if your mother's here and you want to come pray with her or for you, just come on. If your mother's at the altar and you'd like to come pray with her or for her, just come on. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And Father, we thank you for the mothers that you've given us. And Father, I pray for each and every mother that's in this church. And Father, that you'll help them be the women they need to be, the solid rock, the solid foundation in the homes they need to be. And Father, we know that their lives are so busy with all these different activities that are going on. But Father, give these mothers wisdom along with the fathers, that perhaps it's not activities that we need, that it's more family time together we need, with actual time with mother and father, not all these other outside entities. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to influence our children to love you. And we thank you, Father, for your word which says never returns void unto you. And God, we thank you for mothers, because in those we can see your love for us. It's never ending. It's not influenced by any outside circumstance or choice. Your love for us is complete and resolute, just like a mother's love is for a child. And God, we thank you for your goodness. And we just ask you to just lead and guide and direct us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time. You can be seated. And as Chris is coming to take up the offering, I did want to recognize, since I won't be here next week, Haley. And I think, Haley, this will be your first Mother's Day coming up, won't it? That's right. Listen, whether the baby's here or not, you're a mother. And so this is your first Mother's Day. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. Is anybody else, this is their first Mother's Day? Your first child? I was thinking Haley might have been the only one. I just want to say congratulations to her and Happy Mother's Day.
By our ushers to come forward, we'll take up our morning offering.